Welcome to the Fabric Podcast, where we're talking about what's at the core for Fabric as a movement and community, and hopefully inspiring you to wonder what's at your core, too. Here's Greg Meyer.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cats go.
Cats go who?
No, definitely cats go meow.
Oh, you silly guy, you. I guess I knew that owls go who and cats go meow, but thank you. That was my grandson, Nate, in New York. Gotta love a call from him, and all the more, a knock-knock joke to start my day. There's something about a child, especially one I love so much, teamed up with a senseless, surprisingly predictable joke that puts a smile on my face and the world in perspective. I may be all worked up about stuff in the news, which I am, or stressed over getting this podcast all pulled together, and that little knock-knock joke just, well, somehow underneath all the worries, stresses, aches, and pains, life is good. No, it's owls that go hoo, opa. Cats go meow. Of course, I knew that. We are talking about Fabric's five core values as we get going this new year. They are what's at the core of what we do, when we're at our best, that is. As we seek to create community with significant relationships around conversations that matter in our three-stranded way, these are five things that we remember, because together, they guide us well. These aren't what we'd like to do someday. They are what we find we have been doing when we are at our best. The core value we're going to have some fun with today is whimsify. And what is it? Well, whimsify means to apply whimsy to what we do and who we are, I guess. I don't know for sure because neither Merriam-Webster or the Oxford English Dictionary condone whimsify as a word. But hey, part of whimsy is to color outside the lines, right? So maybe it's okay that it's not in the dictionary. I say whimsify it is. Now, all alone, whimsify is probably not a great master telling you what to do all the time. It would probably never get anything done and make some people mad because they're not in a place for it. Have you ever noticed that it doesn't work to tell someone to have fun when you want them to or how you want them to have it? The best you can do is to try to infect them with your own, but I'm getting ahead of myself now. No, whimsify may not be a great solo core value, but core values aren't meant to work solo. There is no single prescription that is good for every disease and no way of kicking back and refueling your tank for every person in every situation. But that said, whimsifying needs to happen. And for many of us, hardworking, productive, getting things done oriented Westerners, we could stand a little bit more of it than we have in us right now. Now, these last 3 weeks, we talked about choosing connection, braving uncertainty, and thinking big. Bold, clear, promising, and important orientations for all of us individuals and for us as a community. I hope you're joining me in them, and I'm glad Fabric disciplines itself to practicing them. But, you know, you can only chase those down so long before you get tired. Hard work, challenge, focus, intentionality, they need to use their grip once in a while because, well, they aren't the only ingredients in the cake of life. You need a little leavening too. I don't care. Baking soda, baking powder, yeast, you need to lighten things up. Speaking of needing to lighten things up a little, I mean, have you looked at the news recently? Like, in the last couple of years, there's a pandemic going on out there. Yeah, sorry to break it to you. And then, well, gotta get serious here. I mean, and we gotta say it out loud. A 15-year-old black boy was shot and killed outside of Richfield High School just Monday. And early Wednesday morning, Amir Locke was shot to death by Minneapolis police. We don't know much yet, but we do know that there are too many young black men dying in general, including at the hands of police. We're grieving. That waiting list just goes on and on. I mean, George Floyd was murdered right in our neighborhood less than 2 years ago, triggering a tsunami of awakenings and reactions about justice. And then there's a climate of politics, the climate of the climate, a threat of a war in Ukraine, inflation. I mean, I don't want to disappear into la-la land and pretend this isn't happening, because it is, and we need to deal with it, but if we're going to face it and deal with it, we need a break. We need to lighten up and have some fun. Take a breath, refresh, reboot before we plunge into the next news cycle, the next cause that needs us. But do I dare take my eyes off the road, the pedal off the metal with everything that begs for my attention?
You know, don't you, that you don't need an excuse to whimsify. You don't need to deserve a little levity and a break from the heaviness of the world you carry on your shoulders, or the weight of your job, or your school assignments, your health, the state of your New Year's resolutions, or the mountain of laundry waiting for you. No, whimsifying is part of life. Okay, so I said whimsify means to apply whimsy to what you do and who we are, but that isn't really a definition, is it? When Heidi, Katie, Maya, Chris, and Melissa and I, people on our Fabric staff, when we talk about this, here's the kinds of things we're thinking about. Sparking wonder. Forgetting what you think you know so that you can be surprised by what you don't know, what you haven't thought of yet. Backing off the facts, not to be unscientific, not to ignore the facts, but to admit that the world is a lot bigger and more complicated than you can hold in your head right now. And if you or I never pause to wonder, to be curious, to ask that sideways question, we often miss the best that the world has to offer. Whimsy also means to meander. Love that word. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Unless you're flying to London, in which case you'd better take a great circle route. Look it up. Or if you're trying to learn something you don't know yet. My experience tells me that the shortest route for learning new things pings off all sorts of stuff I'd never expect would help me, and I had no idea we're on the path between where I started and where I want to get to. You know, it's like gathering eggs from a bunch of barnyard chickens. They don't come to you and line up so you can put their eggs in your basket. No, they hide those eggs everywhere, and you wander all over the place. You meander to find what you need where it is. An earliest childhood memory of me is wandering around the city block I grew up on. We did that without grown-ups back then. It had just rained, and I got to a puddle on the sidewalk, and I squatted there. You know, flat-footed, but off the ground. And I just watched the tree branches waving and the clouds passing by in their reflection on the surface of the water. I have no idea how long I watched, but it was long enough to be lost in it. It was a broken clock moment. That's what the name of the brewery in Northeast Minneapolis means, by the way. Check it out, the brewery, that is. Ever since, I've sought and I've savored puddle-gazing moments. Not sure why, can't say I learned anything, certainly didn't get anything done, but is that all there is to life? Delight is another thing we look for in our quest to whimsify. Did you ever notice that when you find true delight in something, a starry sky at night, that bite of fresh squash and herbs that you roasted just right, the question your three-year-old asks you with that most innocent, trusting, and beautiful expression on their face, when those things happen, the world disappears and you are present only with, only for that. Good stuff. Now, I could go on and on about fun, laughter, humor, play, and all the rest. Yeah, they all belong in this basket that we're labeling whimsify. And I have to say, you know, they aren't luxuries. They are what your soul needs, even though it seems impossible to justify them in the face of the many serious and important things that wait for your attention. No, they're not bonuses you can do without until you finish your work. And I know that. I know that because I can tell that when I don't have them in my life, I'm diminished. Something's missing. How much whimsy? How often? How long can I spend on it as a serious person with real responsibility in a world in which real stuff has to get done? I'm afraid there's no formula. I guess that is an uncertainty you will have to brave, because something is missing from you when you haven't taken time to laugh, to wonder, and all the rest. Ever notice that when you laugh with someone you don't know, you create a bond that is irrationally strong and immediate, even if you don't know that person yet? Ever have that breakthrough, that brilliant idea while you were in the shower? Maybe sitting on the toilet? Ever feel your stress level drop when you took a walk, played a game, got some exercise? Ever come back from a weekend away doing something you don't normally do and discover that you have a new perspective on your work or maybe your family? Maybe taking time to whimsify isn't frivolous or unnecessary, a luxury. Maybe it is an essential part of being alive. First book of the Bible. the poetic imagination of a people who are starstruck with this three-stranded fabric of the universe, of who they were, who each other in the world was, and what this third strand, this wisdom, beauty, wonder, and hope that glued it all together. Anyway, those people, thousands of years ago, with all this in their hearts, wrote this story of how the world is put together. And you know what they concluded? After 6 days of work, of doing stuff, there is a seventh day, a Sabbath, a break, a rest, a day to sit back and play backgammon with the guys at the coffee shop, to go for a walk, enjoy what had been worked on so hard all week long, to imagine what could be done next, shift gears and tell a story about how he, she, or whatever God is, never intended the pit of an avocado to be so big and was starting to make a duck and then got distracted and started making a beaver and then all of a sudden ended up with a platypus and, well, done. Guess I'll have to move on with that. Yeah, that's how they picture the maker of the universe. And then they point out that we are made in that maker's image. So who doesn't need whimsification as a regular part of their life? Yeah, rest. A time for whimsy is right there in the first book of the Bible. Yet we think that what we are doing is so important that we don't have time for it. By the way, I have to say, Fabric has given me a sabbatical this summer. Thank you. And while I'm going to miss you all so much, I think I'm going to have a smile on my face that I won't be able to wipe off for the whole time. I'm going to be doing some connecting. I'm going to be looking into the future and braving the uncertainty I see there. I'm going to be thinking big about Fabric and my what's next. But the fuel for it all is going to be whimsy. If you're not jealous, you should be. Okay, so getting back to that notion that to be good people, we think we should focus on our work and believe that play, that fun, that meandering, delight, wonder, and the rest are luxuries, while the ideal of at least the biblical message is anchored in Sabbath, rest. Can we call it whimsify? That's a problem, isn't it? You, me, we're all taking ourselves too seriously, and we're killing ourselves. Work, productivity, responsibility, getting stuff done. Make your own list. What's the stuff that keeps you from whimsy? They are all like taking a deep breath in. Go ahead, do it. Think of a responsibility you've got now and suck in some air and hold it. What else do you have to do? I know there's more. All right, breathe in more. What more is waiting for you to get done? That list is so long. Good, important stuff, I'm sure. No one's saying that it isn't, but what is it? Name it. And second more air. I don't know about you, but I am at capacity. If I don't let something out, I'm going to burst. You know, sometimes I think that whimsifying is the yin of our yang of productivity. Your doings are an important part of who you are, and where would our world be without them? But they aren't all of you. You exist apart from them. In fact, if you don't get apart from them, you may never know who you are other than what you do. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think fun is so fun? It's evolution, you know. If having fun, taking that time away from your big important work, would really collapse the whole world like you and I seem to think it would, we'd all be dead right now. Evolution would have favored people who didn't find fun to be fun, and only people who are able to keep from having it would live long enough to procreate. If, that is, they could take time for that fun task in their unfun favored world. Anyway, so what is fun for you? How do you whimsify? Be playful, rest, reboot, and refill yourself. I crowdsource Facebook for what other people do, and here is some of what they told me.
Things that I enjoy doing, it sounds very silly, but I would say that cleaning and organizing are very satisfying to me and make me feel a lot of peace. And I know it's just for a sense of control, but oh, it's just so nice. On a lighter end, I also very much enjoy and find some centering with yoga, nature, a good book, sipping coffee or tea, spending time with my family, or going to the cabin. Oh, and I also love to bake bread.
Yeah. One of the things that I really use to reboot and to really get to clear my head is music and listening to the music that we grew up on. I started writing a music blog a couple of years ago, looking back at the music of 50 years ago. I've been reviewing albums from that time, and it's amazing to me a lot of the albums that I had never heard before, that weren't on our radar, you know, in central Wisconsin, weren't on the radio. And I just really enjoy that. It's really delightful to hear these albums that are really brand new that I had never heard before, you know, not 50 years ago and not since then. So I've been really enjoying that. But it's music, and it's mostly 60s and 70s music, because let's face it, the music was better back then, right?
Yeah, some things that help me refresh and reboot is to definitely go outdoors, go up to the cottage in the summer. That's a big thing. Also, for fun, I love going swing dancing. That's one of my favorite things to do. Listening to live music, going to festivals, plays, concerts, hanging out with friends and family, learning how to play ukulele.
Every day, I try to get out for a bike ride and enjoy our great outdoors. Often, I commune with friends and family and connect and discuss the day and talk about adventures. And it just resets everything, that everything is right in the world. And it brings me great joy and happiness.
What I love to do is play tennis a lot, and competitive tennis. It fulfills a lot of things that I need in my life. Competition is one, friendly competition, exercise, mental and physical stimulation, and community. I mean, it's a big community of people that I know and I've known for many years. I also love laughing with my friends and my family, especially getting my mom to laugh, because she can be so serious. And I like to make my dog happy and my daughters happy in any way I can. And I love to cook and entertain and have people over. And I love Fabric and the community there.
My family life is really where my center's at these days. If I'm spending time with my children, my wife, I'm at home, that's kind of where I find center. And then riding my motorcycle, that's kind of where I find Rick. That's where I get back when I, because, you know, I, when we spend 40 hours a week being told what to do and how to do it, you know, when I get on my Harley and go riding, that's where I find what Rick wants to do. And that's, I think, why I enjoy it so much, and why in the last 5 years I've ridden over 200,000 miles on two wheels. And it's, why not? I mean, it's where I find peace away from everything going on.
I have a French press that I use to warm up milk, and I froth up the milk with the plunger a bunch of times, and then I can pretend that I'm really at a coffee shop with another friend that I FaceTime with, and then at least we're face to face and we're germ free and we're having fun. And so then I have fizzy water in a glass with the dollar store umbrella straw. And my last real gag gift is the Biscoffs that you can get in huge packs. So you'll have to give them to your friends to pretend you're on a Delta flight. And then sit in your living room close to someone and watch a movie and pretend you're going somewhere warm.
Playing games with friends brings me a lot of joy. It helps me to refresh and reconnect with people.
For me, I love to cook, and especially love to cook with this guy here, Jordan. I think it's fun to come back home from work and just kind of reconnect on the kitchen and get to talk about our day and jam out to some music and just be in each other's presence and get to make a good, fun meal to eat afterwards is not shabby either.
And today was delicious.
Play music, sing, write poetry, swim, row, kayak, do yoga, spend time with friends, and be out in nature.
What makes me happy on these cold winter days is strapping on the skates and getting out there on the ice to slap the puck around. What brings me joy is laying down a grooving bass track with the Fabric Band.
To refresh and reboot, I love to get outside or look outside, preferably alone, preferably with some silence. I like the silence. I don't get a lot of that in my daily life. I have come to love watching my bird feeders, which makes me feel a lot older than I think that I am. But it calms me. For fun, I love to read. I love to go out on adventures with my kids and do some fun things. We do a lot of outdoor hiking and things, and so it's just fun to get out and do silly things with them.
These are things I can always do to add a jolt of happiness to my day. Love to read almost anything, play the piano, practice the dog's tricks with them, listen to music from high school like Elton John or Cat Stevens. Yes, I'm that old. Have a glass of wine with a friend, take a walk in the woods, take a walk on the beach, take a walk. Hold my chickens. Did I say read? Almost anything. I let the dogs give me a kiss or two. Practice a new recipe.
Walking the dog, going on a family adventure, reading, cross-country skiing, watching birds at the bird feeder, sitting by a body of water, camping, sitting around a fire, good food, drinks, and conversation with good people, snuggling, and soccer.
Thanks to all of you who showed up for this project. Wow, what a list. It's interesting, by the way, how eager people were to share this. I think that says something. Fun, play, wonder, whimsy, they make you whole. The documentation of physical, mental, and social health improving with them is consistent. Catherine Price's bestseller book that just came out called The Power of Fun highlights the science behind why fun is so good for us and how we can maximize it. Catch the recent Kelly Corrigan Wonders podcast with her. It makes me think that the subtitle for this podcast should be Maybe Laughter is the Best Medicine. So don't feel guilty when you whimsify because it's fun. Be proud of taking time for it because it's good for you. But can you overdo it? Sure. Can you play as a way to procrastinate, to avoid responsibility or facing things that need to be faced? Yeah, but you know, you can overplay anything so that it hurts instead of helps you. Remember the ecosystem idea behind core values, how they don't compete with each other, but they work together, balancing and complementing each other. That's why whimsy doesn't stand alone. It partners with your braving uncertainty and thinking big and choosing connection, so you don't put the whole world on your shoulders or, on the other case, run away from it. It partners with your connections so that you find joy in other people, not just advantageous alliances. And since you now have these trusted, close relationships, they can remind you when it's time to get down to work. Let me take a little different tack here for a moment. Someone most people may not think of in terms of whimsifying is Jesus. It does seem that the New Testament writers weren't really trying to accent this trait of his, but like anything that's true, it's hard to hide. And I think we can see Jesus' sense of humor and playfulness peeking through the stories of his life. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Matthew's Gospel, a book in the Bible about Jesus' life, he tells about a time when the authorities were questioning Jesus about paying the temple tax. Jesus has a bit of repartee with Peter, establishing why this is exactly what is so wrong with religion. But then, not wanting to create unnecessary friction, he tells Peter to go and pay it for them. But do you remember, perchance, how he tells him to pay it? He tells Peter to go fishing. He was a fisherman, right? Go fishing. And when he catches his first fish, he should look in the mouth of that fish because there will be the coin inside that is big enough to pay the tax. Seriously? For the record, this is not my advice on how to pay your taxes this April 15th, okay? Also for the record, we don't know that Peter did this or that it worked. And I really don't think we're supposed to worry about that. I think Jesus was making another point that we're not going into right now, and I think the ridiculousness of this is part of the point. I can imagine Jesus walking off stage after this line while everyone is looking from him to Peter and then to each other, their mouths hanging open, and Jesus is thinking, you know, I bet he's actually going to go and try that. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Once in John's Gospel, we find the story about Jesus hanging out in some village square, and all of a sudden a big angry mob comes dragging a woman whom they caught in adultery into the square to stone her, as the law says they should. No mention, by the way, about how they caught her. It's all a little weird, isn't it? Or what happened to the guy, but I digress. Anyway, they see Jesus there, this rabbi who's making all the headlines, and they just don't like him because they think he thinks he's so smart. And they ask him whether they should stone her or not, like Moses' law says. And Jesus, instead of answering them or standing up to their anger, just kneels down and starts playing in the dirt with his finger, writing or drawing or something. Well, you can imagine, this infuriates the crowd. Come on, are you mocking us? This is important. Stand up and tell us what we should do, hotshot. And Jesus calmly draws in the sand. Finally, I suppose the crowd was about to boil over, and so he stands up. The crowd quiets down to hear what he says, and in a soft voice, he looks around the crowd and says, yeah, okay, stoner. Now, I don't know you all, but whichever of you has no sin in your life, yeah, you throw the first one, okay? And as if it weren't a big deal at all, he simply kneels down and continues his drawing. I imagine a stunned silence as they try to put this all together. The story tells us that one by one, the oldest among them first, they all drop their stones and go home. Now, that may sound more dramatic than humorous, but I think Jesus was messing with them. The Bible doesn't tell us what he was drawing in the sand, but there's this ancient tradition that says he was writing the names and the sins of each person in the crowd. Okay, that's just a story, but come on. That's not just brilliant, it's hilarious. I mean, Whimsy knows that sometimes justice is better served poetically than directly. Okay, that may not be all knee-slapping funny to you, but remember, I think the gospel writers were trying to push Jesus' authoritative, his power side, not his funny side, but his humanity, his balance, his perspective, his whimsy was pronounced enough to show through the veil of the writing anyway. Okay, so there's one more conundrum to whimsifying that we need to name, and that is productivity. We've talked about it before, but let's just dive in here a little deeper right now. On the one hand, the time you spend on play, relaxing, resting, and rejuvenating is lost from your productivity, and we're so focused on that that we sometimes won't even let ourselves get enough sleep. On the other hand, we're told that we will be more productive if we whimsify, if we spark wonder, meander, delight, laugh, play, rest. And here's the catch. If you try to make your whimsifying productive, you may not be able to do it at all. Whimsy isn't something you can control. It doesn't come on command like a well-trained dog. Catherine Price says you can't force fun or expect someone to have fun by telling them to. What we can do, though, is create the conditions that we know are conducive to fun, that we know we often experience fun in. Any supervisor who says you can have fun in the job as long as productivity goes up is killing the benefits of that fun as much as providing the opportunity for it. There's something about whimsy that has to be unconditional. You can't demand a result from it, but you do it just because it's good for you, even though you don't know how, and then you just trust that. That said, this conversation now turns to you. You need to take yourself less seriously in order to accomplish what your life can be about. You need to play more, rest more, laugh more, wonder and wander more. And you need to be held accountable to doing it, but it can't become a task, something you do as part of a formula to be a fuller, better, more productive self. So what are you going to do, and how will you build it into your life? While you think about that, I've got something for you to listen to. This is Chris Tripolino again of Fabric with his original Taking My Time. Not sure what it's all about, but hey, I like it. Maybe you will too. So put your feet up, lay back, hands behind your head, look up at the sky or the ceiling or close your eyes. And while you're listening, imagine being somewhere you'd really like to be. I'll be right back afterward with an idea or two on how to build some guilt-free whimsifying into your life. Now
butterflies. I've been liking the roundabout ways. You can see the hours melt right into days. I can take my time, maybe stretch it out. If it's not real, how could it steal from anyone else? Even if it's not mine, I'm taking my time. I'm not sure if we get a choice, you know.
Thanks, Chris. Love it. To whimsify, it's not always to take the shortest route, but taking your time to discover. Who knows what? Maybe what you would never have thought to look for. So I want you to be accountable to whimsifying in an unaccountable sort of way. I want it to make an impact on your life, but not be tied to that outcome. I want you to try getting nothing done for no other reason than if you do something, there's something wrong. Sound easy? No, I suppose not. But sound fun? I hope so. It should be. And while people around you may resent you for it in the moment, we will all be thankful in the long run for the you that emerges from it. I said I had an idea or two on how to build some guilt-free whimsifying into your life. Here it is. It starts with choosing to value whimsifying. Spend some time recalling what lights your fire. And don't just think about it. Make a list. Maybe a picture board. Maybe a collage or a photo album of it. Make it tangible. Capture the glow on your face when you are in the moment. The next step is, how can you schedule it in? And I want you to think in the category of moments, hours, days, and weeks. Okay? Moments are those just times when it can just sneak in and poke itself into whatever you're so busy doing at the time. Okay? And then hours, right? You need some time for you. You need some time to refresh every day. Sleep is sort of part of it, but you need some awake time too that helps you be you. And then days, right? Sabbath, one day, Sundays, whatever day of the week it is. But do you have a time, a day in the week where you not only get a chance to get other things done, but you get to refresh and renew? And then weeks. We don't all have the luxury of vacation, but where is that sustained time that's more than a day, but a sustained time where you can get away from everything and have a new experience, something that helps waken up what had fallen asleep within you? Now, you can't make yourself have fun, but you can create containers for it to happen. Carve those out on your calendar. Set up reminders. Find objects, words, notifications that remind you to not just be a human doing, but let you remember that you are a human being. The next piece is this. How can you involve the people around you in it? We are in this together, and even if it is a solitary activity, sharing your love of whatever your whimsy activity is with others is part of what makes it all so sweet. They also need you as a model for it, and you need their enthusiasm to keep the wonder alive in you. Last, I want you to share your plan with someone you trust. Family, close friends, your group. Hold each other accountable in that wonderful, friendly, mutually supportive, hopeful way that people you love can do. Try it. This is all on the episode page that you will find linked to this podcast. It's worth it. You need you to whimsify. The world needs you to whimsify, along with all the other important things that are at work within your core. And Fabric needs to whimsify because we deal with a lot of heavy stuff. We need to, and we need this piece to help us be whole while we do it. So excuse us if we mess with you once in a while. We're not trying to make you uncomfortable. Usually, we're trying to fan the flame of wonder and meandering and delight within you. So thanks, and I'll see you next week when we explore another of our constellation of core values that are all working together all the time. We call this one Share Warmth. In the meantime, have fun.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wanderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.